photos.
Okay, we are live here, Friday night, November the 17th, 2023. You're hearing One Eye Jack and the Shells, Mud Flood, which I felt was appropriate for the title of tonight's live stream, The Liquefaction of Reality. Text alerts just went out, so we'll expect people to start pouring in. The raft is swelling, and again, we limit it 33 per raft, and then just form separate rafts, and then we'll link them up. All right, joined by Diana South there in DLive, Mom with Sons, Peace Circle 360, 737, and Osher. Okay, we have YouTubers, Twitchers, and DLivers who are unwittingly supporting the Chi-Coms. I mean, none of these platforms are innocent. None of them. Okay, now let's get into a few things. One of the things that I came across today was this article suggesting, okay, everyone here knows that if you listen to Infinite Plane Radio, that you have been inoculated. This is mind war inoculation. Inoculated against mind viruses because you're no longer a receptacle for ideas in such a passive way where you just believe what you see. You've moved past CSE, as we call it here. You don't have a compromised mental immune system, which we term here mind aids. Now, I've described it in this way because if you don't have critical thinking at the outset with the face value presentation of the media presentations, if you assume them not to be lying at a fundamental level, that's a starting point that can only lead to their conclusions they put out there in advance. These are pre-existing narrative structures for our news-bent reality. But now, check this out. This is something that I think corresponds perfectly with what we've been talking about. A couple of things. It has to do with this new organization, and I heard them on the podcast. It's a Daily Beast podcast. And in this podcast, they were interviewing the person behind what's called the Mental Immunity Project. I'm like, oh, what is this about? These days, we're bombarded by viral messages, information designed to infect minds, manipulate emotions, and spread to others. How do we keep, quote, infectious information from warping our thinking? By cultivating MI. Now, MI is mental immunity. So here's this company out here, this organization, that is making it their effort to immunize the public against mind viruses. Now, obviously, this is not in the interests of the mass media or the governments for the people to have a mental immune system. That is not in their interests at all. But they want them to automatically accept from the appropriate sources, which is what they've done anyway. But this is just an attempt to convince people that, hey, look, free speech absolutism has been an unmitigated disaster. Look at X. I think we need this. We don't need these ideas spreading. And that's how they describe it. They describe these things like, what, infectious information? You see how they play with words, they get you to accept a premise, and then they change the very subject, but the people respond to it in the same way. Welcome to the Mental Immunity Project. These days, we're bombarded by viral messages and ideas designed to infect minds. Now, let me go ahead and play this clip. But when I heard them say infectious information, I thought, okay, this is beyond parody. Catching up on your comments. Okay, let's see here. Again, I'll put a link if you want to listen to this video. Everything that I post is on minds.com/infiniteplanesociety. For some reason, YouTube being what it is, they block you from watching videos if you don't log in. And if I log in, it'll lock me out because I've been banned on that account. But we don't need to listen to the whole thing. I just wanted to point out here that here's an organization promoting the idea. And look, they were featured on The Young Turks, The Joe Rogan Experience, Psychology Today, NPR. What is mental immunity? Before we knew about germs, our ancestors lived in constant fear of infectious diseases. For a long time, it seemed like an unavoidable part of the human condition. Then we learned about germs, and we learned how to control their spread. So this is an article about the science of immunology and how it's transformed the human condition. But he goes on to say, What if we could solve today's infodemic problem in the same way? Why not afford our minds the same protection we afford our bodies? What if we help everyone boost their immunity to, quote, viral information? Imagine the world we could build if mis- and disinformation weren't constantly warping our worldviews and setting us at odds. And what we're seeing right now with Israel and Palestine is part of this. The propaganda on both sides, the heated rhetoric, it's meant to look like a huge problem that needs to be solved. Elon Musk is being pointed out as the bad guy in all of this. I don't know if you noticed, but I think IBM pulled ads because he's basically a critical Jew theorist. You know, far right blame Israel and Jews for everything. Far left blame whites for everything and systemic racism. And so I compare the two. Critical race theory, critical Jew theory. These are parallel explanations centered around grievance politics and a scapegoat, and I reject them both. But Musk has made X a safe space for criticism, and this is, of course, blowing up X, as we'll go through. But I called this out quite a while ago. I said Elon Musk is destined to be the fall guy for free speech absolutism. Look at these headlines today from The Drudge. White House condemns Musk hate. Fallout spreads. Fallout? Are we talking about nukes now? I thought this was a viral infodemic, but now it's fallout. Twitter is an anti-Jew hotspot. Advertisers freak out. And you see, he's not tempering it at all. He just sent out a notice that if you want to pay for Premium Plus, which is $22 a month, you can access Grok, and you don't have to look at ads anyway. So he's replacing the need to please advertisers by offering increasingly better tiers, which is smart from a business perspective. But this monster is being allowed to grow in full view of the public, so the public cries for some kind of a solution. I believe the co-founder of Facebook has been crying for the, resignation of Elon Musk. All right, let me catch up on comments here. Diana South says that Link is awesome and the brief tutorials to help one beef up their mental immune system. Yeah, see, the irony of it, though, is they're not explaining what media is, what they're or even the difference between knowing and believing. They're trying to get people to follow the right sources to believe the right things. My point being, if you're merely a believer, you don't really have immune systems, mentally speaking, against these arbitrary beliefs. These are things you just choose based on your feelings. They don't stand up to any critical scrutiny. And I don't think they want people to be critically examining media. They want them to be accepting from the right sources all over again. I mean, it's just nothing to do with protecting the public from actual threats either. It's one of my other points. Like, we're all supposed to agree. That's obviously not the case. And it would never happen anyway. Okay, let's go through. We have a lot more to go through. Here we go. Facebook co-founder calls on Elon Musk to resign after he calls an anti-Semitic tweet the actual truth. And what he refers to here is somebody pointed out something about Israel and Palestine, and Musk tweeted his agreement with the tweet itself. And since he was, here it is. This is the artist formerly known as Eric Breaking Bat tweeted, "Okay, Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of dialectical hatred against whites they claim to want people to stop using against them. I'm deeply disinterested in giving the tiniest esh now about Western Jewish populations coming to the," and Musk says, "you have said the actual truth." And this is what I mean. This is true. The dialectical hatred against whites is what I call critical race theory. But what Musk is facilitating, and what X is really being, a breeding ground for, is the opposite, what I call critical Jew theory. I think they're equally invalid, by the way. And again, both of these are worldviews based on the idea that you're oppressed and that you can blame a scapegoat. It's really for weak-minded people who can't think for themselves and need to join the winning team. It's pretty bad, but let's move on. Okay, here we go. This is where we were talking about the liquefaction of reality. For some time, I've been describing the age of Aquarius as the flood of information, Brave New World style, so much information that the truth no longer matters. It can't be relevant. We're in the sea of irrelevance. That's why we have the image on the screen of the penguins in a raft. The raft symbolizes a network of people who aren't lost in the sea of irrelevance. But now check this out. This is from an article about cybersecurity operative named Applebaum. The article is from Yahoo News. Trump allies orchestrate disinformation plot. So Applebaum has some spyware patents, and he's worked for governments. And he said, quote, Flynn and others are liquefying reality, a term rooted in counterintelligence operations. So for a few weeks, I've been focusing on the cult that worships JFK as Jesus, who they now say is literally Donald Trump, that Donald Trump is JFK in a suit and he's Jesus. And it gets so mind-boggling how these people think, how reality is fluid for them. And I've been saying reality is fluid. We live in a very reality-fluid time, and it's not just the Mandela affected. In fact, I pointed this out because I said since reality is fluid, the Mandela effects don't really hit as hard, which is why it's not getting any traction. But we're talking here about a deliberate strategy to soak, to flood, to just saturate the minds of the critical thinkers with so much garbage that they can't come to any rational conclusions. And then you have these artificial consensuses built by bots, which make it look like, oh yeah, a lot of people are expecting JFK to come back on a flying saucer. Like, that is the obvious result of a concerted effort to liquefy the reality of these individuals. And it's worked. I've been calling it mentanol. That's what's the real problem here, is it's the mentanol flood. Now, again, he goes on to say, this is Applebaum. This is an article, again, from Yahoo. Trump allies orchestrate disinformation plot. He says, this is an active measure, a strategy for creating chaos to get rid of truth. The Russian Federation coined the phrase, quote, active measure in the 1920s to describe, quote, a combination of propaganda, political pressure, and covert military activity. You need to let go of the concept of disinformation and switch to the concept of active measures. Active measures encompass many elements, including disinformation, but a well-crafted active measure is living, breathing, and it spreads. These are pieces of art. Now, this is a separate article from the thing about mental immunity, but these things are connected. Now, we talk about how there's an obvious attempt to flood the zone with disinformation, but it's beyond that. It's an active measure, as in you have LARPers, you have characters playing into it. Then you have the weird subtext of this whole Q thing with JFK. I'm saying that this is all part of an active measure. It couldn't happen if it was just disinformation thrown out there. It has carriers, super spreaders. Now, this is interesting too. Cernovich had made, posted this tweet back in June about Donald Trump when he was first indicted. He said that it was, quote, this is the JFK assassination all over again. They're killing Trump by other means. And General Flynn, who's again behind this big Q thing in large part, said, it's called narrative assassination. Physical assassination is too messy these days. Not out of the question, but too messy. Killing somebody by creating a completely false narrative is cleaner, easier, and has a lasting effect on others contemplating getting in the way. This is something I have a great deal of experience and expertise on. Fascinating. Are they going to JFK Trump, or are they just going to destroy his character? All right, let's move forward here. I'm going to catch up on your comments. If anyone has anything you want to call in on, I'll open up phones here momentarily. Gematria101 says, tomorrow is the 322nd day. Shout out to the Skull and Bone Society. Hey, let's get into this. Alex Jones had a prophetic dream, and he could have saved 3,000 lives, but he waited 22 years to talk about it. Yep. Alex Jones had a prophetic dream of 9/11 before it happened. It was back in March Let me go ahead and play this clip and then we'll discuss. And here we go.
I began to have a recurring dream in March of 20.
Okay, wait, it was a recurring dream. So it wasn't like one dream. It's like he's having this dream again and again and again.
I began to have a recurring dream in March of 2021 of the World Trade Centers on fire and collapsing. And I told my wife at the time this. But I also then started seeing, once I had the dreams, I started seeing them. Well, wait, they're saying Bin Laden's about to attack. And we knew from the FBI informant.
Again, he had multiple dreams and visions of the towers not only burning, but collapsing, which is interesting because prior to 9/11, buildings didn't really collapse.
Salam, who also worked for the CIA, that the feds had cooked the bomb, trained the driver, let them attack the World Trade Center in 1992. So I was able to put together that that was going to be their next target. And so I did dozens of shows that they tried to remove off the internet, but you can still find large clips of it, where I said, call the White House. And I put the number up. And I said, they're going to blow up the World Trade Center and they're going to blame Bin Laden.
Anyway, I'm just pointing it out. You know, it would have been nice if he had said something about this, I don't know, 22 years ago, but better late than never. Peace Circle says it looks like he quit taking his super male vitality. Yeah, I'm thinking he's taking Gwyneth Paltrow's sex scoop. He grabbed the wrong bottle. 737 says, nah, brah, you didn't know. Austin 108 says, that's amazing. I think it's amazing that he had a prophecy. He dreamed about it. Although, what did he really dream? I mean, the fact of it is, and this is the fact, let's just talk about facts, which don't care about feelings. 9/11 didn't involve any deaths. It's not even reasonable to assume so. And the people who still cling to whatever deaths they might be able to cast doubt upon are still having to provide an explanation for how at least two-thirds of it is an easily provable media hoax. I mean, all of it is, but some people have a hard time letting go of the fact that we have been propagandized in a psychological warfare operation, and it's an ongoing one. 9/11 was not something in isolation. And, you know, we can agree to disagree. You can say, well, I believe this was done by, I guess at the time it would have been Islamic space lasers, direct energy weapons, or the Skull and Bone Society used a tactical nuke. You have all these other explanations, and people believe it happened. But what I'm saying is that the facts don't support that, and you're entitled to your own opinions, but not facts. So factually speaking, you would be wrong if you were still maintaining people actually died. And I think we're at the point where we can break away from those demographics of media consumers who are still brainwashed into not understanding what the true role of the media actually is. And that was the big tell for 9/11. And you can't let that go as your starting point. We have this group called Mental Immunity Project, and their whole premise here is based on protecting the public from what they call misinformation. But what they will never confront is that the media is not an objective source. If you think the mass media gives you a window to the world so you could know things happening at a distance, you're wrong. It was and always has been a filter. It was never not a filter. And even the people on there who aren't part of the active measure or part of the psychological operations, insofar as they're teleprompter readers and scripted, they're a part of the big lie world order system. It's actually too big for anybody to see outside of. I think the only reason we got any glimpses at all is because of a few bad actors, crisis actors specifically. The truth wasn't even discernible after 9/11 for many years. You were left with space lasers, or nukes, or skull and bones, or you were left with a myriad of conspiracy rabbit trails and red herrings, but none of them led to the essential truth. It wasn't even knowable unless you were on the inside. So we can never discount the significance of what we actually know when it comes to mass media methodology and what it truly is. Okay, let's continue. G33 says controlled opposition breadcrumbs. Yes, and the breadcrumbs always lead one place. They curve, you know, like newsbenders. They curve back onto the political horseshoe. And the political horseshoe steers you back into being world stage centric. We says it's not reasonable to say no one was injured in 9/11. Well, actually, it is reasonable. Because And if somebody was injured, it wouldn't be reasonable to say it was in any way intentional. Like somebody might have tripped and fell, but it's not even, it would be non sequitur to even bring that up as any kind of refutation into the breakdown of 9/11 proffered from this perspective. You wouldn't be able to make that case. You could say maybe somebody tripped and fell, but I'm saying it's non sequitur. Like when they make movies, you have a lot of people involved. Surely somebody's going to trip and fall. Somebody's going to have a sick day. But I'm saying that injuries and death are not an intrinsic part of propaganda films. They're just not. They don't kill people in psyops. They don't kill people in simulated news events. There's no reason to. And the only argument people have left, the death clingers, is an argument from an appeal to their motive, like, oh, they're so bad, why wouldn't they kill people? And that's not an argument. But the burden of proof is on the mass media to prove the deaths and anybody who supports the mass media claims. So this is one other point. You're not skeptical if your skepticism is in defense of the MSM version of events. Like if you look at the mainstream media version and somebody says they're lying, it's not skeptical to just question the ones calling them liars. Your skepticism has to begin with what they showed you on the screen. G33 says it was a massive ritual, lesser magic, manufactured consent. Yeah, multi-layered for sure. I think these things, they have financial aspects, they have geopolitical aspects, they have psychological ramifications, but also emotional, trauma bonding, the news cycle of abuse and all of that. But then also you have, I think, spiritual ramifications for whatever that is, you know, the occult, the underbelly to all this stuff, which I don't have all the answers or explanations for all of it, but the indicators are there. Yes, it is some kind of a ritual. There's a reason why it took place on the Coptic New Year. And there's a lot of things that, if you look around, you can see that, you know, we are inundated with rituals that we are outsiders to. I mean, I only found out a couple years ago that New Year's Eve corresponds to the peak of Sirius, which then begins to fall after the midnight hour of New Year's. So it's like the ball drop. You're counting down for the new year. Well, that's Sirius falling, and Sirius is the primary star that the occultists worship, and the Freemasons have a big pentagram in their temples that it's a reference to this blazing star. Okay, let's see here. I want to read through some comments. We had this video I uploaded it about a week ago called "Can You Spot the Plane? Endeavor's External Tank Falls Away." And I think most of you have seen this, but I'm going to put it up on the screen. And basically, you're supposed to believe, and I think this is purely an optical illusion. You're supposed to believe that you're seeing the perspective from inside of a space shuttle of an external tank falling to the ocean. And I'm saying this is very clever because the fact of it is, and this is given away in a couple of areas, that you're not looking at the Earth from high up above, from 150 miles up with the clouds and then the ocean below. No, you're actually on the ground in the space shuttle, but it's not moving. And you're filming the sky. And that external tank, quote, falling, no, it's a blimp and it's going up. And at the very end of this video, you see some kind of, maybe it's a blimp recovery jet. You literally see a jet in the same frame as this tank, as it, and as soon as the plane shows up in the same frame, and I'm circling it with the mouse, the quote astronaut moves the camera out of view. And that's literally a plane. Now, this is from NASA's own video, and it's an optical illusion, and this is how they used to fake space. This is one of their tricks. Filming the sky with a curved lens gives you the same effect. The other day, I took a picture of the sky against a traffic light, and it looked like a ball Earth when I flipped it upside down. Anyway, I got a lot of comments on this video. Let's see what we have here. Benton says, shouldn't it be burning up and hurling towards the Earth? Let's see. Jungle Surfer says, too funny. They Lie We See says, where are the land masses? Exactly, there's no land masses. seems awfully slow for terminal velocity. This guy says, who's taking the video? I question how he can keep it focused at that speed. This is back when they used handheld cameras, which they don't use anymore. Yes, it's supposed to be falling, but it's actually going up. It is a blimp. I mean, this is a clever optical illusion. It's a magic trick. Cognitive dissonance running deep in these comments. We did have one person trying to defend it. Most people accurately called it a blimp. There was one person here, though, who said the external tank and orbiter are moving at the same speed. The tank will burn up when it hits dense enough atmosphere. Right. You mean where the airplane just came in? Like, this thing is floating above. And if you watch the whole video, one of the things that gives it away is it's a handheld camera seated inside of the cockpit of the space shuttle. And when it starts moving at the very beginning and you look up, if you can clearly see, it almost looks like a kite at first. You're looking up at the sky. I'm sorry, it's a clever illusion, but they've transitioned from this to pure computer-generated simulated environments. Salty Siren says, went to the Veterans Day program at my daughter's school because she's in honors choir and people were bawling during the national anthem. Interesting. What a Lucy song. I was in the military. I was brainwashed. And if people say that's wrong for me to say the military brainwashed, it's like, well, then you don't understand brainwashing, what it literally is, and what mind control looks like. And a huge part of maintaining a stasis, maintaining world peace, is having the huge standing armies. Not so we have a lot of people ready to go kill people, but so we have a lot of believers who believe in weapons of mass destruction and who are the only people who can tell us credibly what's going on. In other words, we need a bunch of believers as a wall, and then you have the liars behind increasingly secure levels of security clearance. So only a few people know how much it's really faked, but you need layers, stratified layers of people at different levels of deception. Every single person in the military believes in weapons of mass destruction as described by the mass media. They all are required, more or less, to believe what is on the news. You think they have alternatives? It doesn't work that way. They are a firewall, exactly, says Salty Siren. Firewalls. It's a firewall. I was a part of the firewall. And looking back at it, I mean, I spent months in the one station unit training there in Alabama learning about nukes, and I remember watching all these videos and all the training about fallout and how we do decontamination. And when it came down to it in 2020, it really stood out to me how we weren't following any of the procedures that we should have been following, which told me that the whole thing was more about getting people exposed to the social aspects of confronting other people in public. Like, that never would have happened if it was truly what they said it was. Okay, let's see here. We says, a building demo on that scale would have large amounts of debris hitting the streets around buildings. If the area had been cordoned off, we would have heard about it. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things to say about 9/11. I think it's old news, stale, and the official story holds no water when you understand what media is and what decades of predictive programming really means. It's as fake as the moon landing. And not only that, it's eminently fakeable. And I'm a mass media critic because I know it's promulgating a false worldview through a reality TV style news infotainment model. It is news spin, and that's hard for people to accept. It's hard to accept the good news that nobody died that day. People have a hard time with that. They want those dead babies clutched to their chests. They want that virtue signal. They want that, I felt that pain with everybody. And it's like, you know what? They took your louche. It's just better to admit that you were psychologically manipulated. As Mark Twain said, though, it's easier to fool a person than convince them they've been fooled. And when you're fooled, when they use these operations, it usually involves your emotions. And beliefs that are drawn in with emotions and emotional appeals are very difficult to extract without reinvoking those same emotions. So people cry for the fake dead kids. I understand. Now, the reason I bring up 9/11 is that it is the key event. If you want to explain, if you want evidence that we have a monolithic controlled media globally and that there is no outsider, you have to point to that event. You can point to 2020, sure, but 9/11 signified something big. So in other words, the case for a Metascript, for a news-bent reality, and for Cywar as standard operating procedure is made by pointing at 9/11. And of course, 22 years of fake school shootings, and all the, there's just a world of fakery. But I like to bring it up once in a while because some people think that their belief in it is equal to our disbelief. Like, oh, we agree to disagree. Well, no, you agree to accept a lie, and I'm not calling people liars, but I am saying that you should be aware that you're carrying merely a belief, and it's weak, and it's only held in place by weak emotions, and it's actually a very morbid belief, and it's tantamount to a contemporary myth, and I think these things are toxic. I think it's part of building a trauma bond, and one of the points I've been making lately is that I'm not whatsoever advocating for tuning out. I think that's the wrong way to go. I think you should tune in and tune in deeper and understand all that you can about every story. However, I think that you should not fall into the trap of thinking you have to believe something and take a side in the first 24 hours or even a month. You could take a month to decide if you believe something was real. For example, the hockey player. A lot of people saw the video and they said, yeah, he's dead. And I said, you know, I got to wait and see. I don't trust the sports news media. And the number 47 thing's a little conspicuous. And sure enough, within a week, stuff piled up. All of it lending weight to the idea that this is some kind of a psychological operation. But had I responded to the horror, the shock, the emotions, had I wept at my TV and GoFunded the family, I might not have come to the realization that this was yet another bit of psychological warfare and theater. I don't give them anything. I don't cry for crisis actors. I haven't been duped in, well, when it came to Christchurch, for about a minute, I entertained the idea it was real until I watched it frame by frame. And then I saw a few glitches. And then I started doing some research. And then I learned about squibs. And every time we deep dive into one of these things, I arrive at new aspects to their methodology that I may not have known about before, specifically squibs. Let's see what. Oh, there was something else. Someone had watched, I think it was Synchro Morpheus, he had watched Newsbenders again, came out in 1968, and it talked about how they bend the news 5 years in advance, and that even had predictive programming for the Twin Towers, which their construction began in 1968, the same year 9/11 was activated as our national emergency number, and 5 years later, they were completed. All right, let me go up on some comments. Yeah, Allison Chain said, oh crap, I was going to call about the hockey race wars. Yeah, okay, I want you to call about that, because let me bring this up. Black player kills white. I see these far-right agitators like Lauren Witzke and Stu Peters trying to say it's a race thing, which is just ridiculous. But I thought, wait a minute, there's got to be something to this. Because the number 47, Trump 47, the Trump 47 on the hat, we've been pointing out since that guy with the 47 tattooed on his head shot up that 4th of July parade, 47. So we've noticed there's something with 47 and the 47th presidency and all these things are coming to a head here. So I thought there must be something to it because all their players have 47s on their helmets. It turns out that this guy played for 46 minutes and 52 seconds in the season, almost 47 minutes, and that the player who did the attack or the slash, the inadvertent attack, whatever you want to call it, he was arrested with 47 days left in the year. So there was a few other indicators here, but I thought maybe there's something else too. Could even be a, you know, sometimes they're very punny at times and they play with words. So, for example, splitting atom, the guy's name was Adam Johnson. There may be something to that because the whole Helter Skelter Turner Diaries nuke scenario from the domestic violent extremists is always in the context of race war. And then black and white. And then there was something else. There was a game shortly after with the Panthers where there was a goalie had 47 saves in his career that night. There was a score in the 47th minute after a standing ovation for a minute. Again, this This is very much similar to what we've seen with like Brittany Griner or Damar Hamlin, where they use some athlete as the center for some kind of ritual theater, and it usually centers around Masonic chicanery. Okay, phones are open. Numbers on the screen. 505-349-0420. IFFA73 says there's a lot of pollution from building smoke debris. People may have gotten an asthma attack or two, but the area was cleared before the buildings came down. Yeah, and I would even say this too. The white smoke, and it caused like 9/11 long and people died. That's crap. Oh, even though they incinerated the buildings with tactical nukes and space lasers, and that's why there was this white powder that was killing people. No. And if you look at the scenery, the guys wearing masks, this is all part of the foreshadowing for 2020, by the way. There was predictive programming all over how they presented 9/11 and the memorial after. I mean, just recently, a 33-year-old fell into the viewing pool. They're constantly using that thing as a an altar or something. But anyway, there wasn't any toxic smoke. What you saw was military-grade concealment smog. I've used it myself when I was in the military in training. You have these smog generators in the back of your Humvees, and you just drive around and you create, or you have them set up in wherever, and these things will give you visual cover. It blocks laser sights. There's nothing. It's like pitch black, but it's white. Pitch white. You can't see your hands in front of your face. That's the level of cover, and it was cover smoke. And they really hyped up how much smoke there was. Even the astronaut who said that he was listening to the Tom Clancy Sum of All Fears when it happened. He's like, wow, I'm listening to a book about 9/11 and it happens. As I'm looking down at the ground, I see the smoke, which is hilarious. But no, that was it was just like with Boston, the Boston bombing. They use the same stuff. It's concealment smog. G33 says 47 is a Mason number. Okay, there you go. Yeah, the black and the white player, Masonic duality. 47 is specifically. And again, when you get in the Masons, they make you swear an oath where they slash your throat if you spill the beans. So the throat slashing is a huge part of it. It's called the penal sign. It means secrecy. But 47 is a part of the Master Mason lecture when they raise him from the dead. And it has to do with the 47th problem of Euclid. And something about, I believe, the circle in the square, and the circle representing the spirit, and the square being the material realm, and how this is something you create with a compass in the square. But anyway, it's definitely a Masonic number. Then, of course, we have the whole thing with the. Well, I'll see if I can find some more information about it. We'll get back to it. But basically, they've drawn attention to it on the race. Oh, that was it. The family came out saying they wanted justice, which again, that doesn't make any sense. They're demanding justice. The body hasn't had time to be buried yet, and they're demanding, quote, justice. And that term justice is like a coded word. It's not something that makes any sense in this context. Lean Dion says closed set. There were multiple drills that day. Yeah, on 9/11. There were 88 or something like that. There were literally dozens of drills going on that day. Someone said, I saw a comment here. We says, oh, the streets were cleared first. I've heard of that. No, there were even 9/11 truthers know that there were literally dozens of drills going on that day. Like, that's one of the first things that we found out that cast doubts on the official story. By the way, I was looking at the Pentagon, which construction began 60 years to the day from 9/11. It was 9/11, 1941. It was hit by Flight 77. Anybody care to guess how tall the Pentagon is? How high it is? How high are the walls of the Pentagon? That's correct, 77 feet. Flight 77. I found a lot of interesting numerology around all these structures, from the Twin Towers to that one, and the plane that crashed in Shanksville is interesting because that's the one where the hijackers had the shanks. Salty Siren says they did the same thing for that last mass shooting, calling for, quote, justice before they even counted the bodies. Exactly. Now, justice must have some other context here, and I think it has to do with balance, black and white. the duality. So there's something in it. Again, it's way too scripted when they get into these coded numbers. Like with Damar Hamlin, everybody's kneeling except for the guy named Neil with the number 33 on his back. Okay, moving on. There's quite a lot to cover today. We talked about Alex Jones and his prophetic vision about 9/11. That's why we talked about 9/11. Someone asked, why are we bringing up 9/11? Because it's old, stale news. Yeah, I bring it up to make sure we're all on the same sheet. But moreover, I brought it up because Alex Jones brought it up, and I'm like, look, it would have been nice if he had told us 22 years ago that the towers are going to burn down, but nope, he forgot until, and he said he hadn't told anybody until just now. Mr. Trustworthy said, Maskey AJ's been replaced. Yeah, what is it? Has he been replaced? Or did he take the Gwyneth Paltrow sex scoop instead of his super male vitality? He is looking a little, I don't know what you want to say. Speaking of Masons, this is a clip where you can see the Masonic initiation. Somebody went and filmed it. Apparently this lodge isn't really high budget, but this is where they do the mock execution of the initiate. And look, this is all, you can find this stuff. It's not like it's hard to see this stuff, and you can find videos of initiations. I was involved in the Masonic group after I was in the military. I was actually signed in by Sergeant Major and someone else, and I didn't have any family in it, but I sought a way in because so many people I knew in the military were in, and I wanted to see for myself. But the one that I joined, they did their Master Mason raising rituals in a cemetery in southern New Mexico at this ghost town that had been flooded out in the 1920s called San Marcel. The story was that it had been flooded, so they moved the lodge to where I live, but they still go out. So it's like full moon in a cemetery in the middle of the desert at this old graveyard where they do their rituals and stuff. And, I mean, it's a interesting experience, and it's one of those things that I think it's kind of a staple of almost every initiatory secret society. And the Masonic one takes kind of a Judeo-Christian bent to symbolism more than Egyptian, which was what was the case with the Thelemic group that I had been similarly involved with. But as you can see here, this is the mock execution of Hiram Abiff, like the Masonic Christ figure. And every Mason goes through it. So they're all dead at some point and then resurrected. This fake death thing, we always talk about these fake deaths. Yeah, it's a staple part of their culture. And it has to do with being dead to your old ignorant self and being reborn and refashioned in a member of their cult. And they show you a rock, like a rough stone and then a polished brick. So you come in a rough stone and eventually you're conformed until you're useful enough to be put into the edifice of King Solomon's temple. This is Kyle Undercover says, I went undercover with the hidden camera to expose the degree. And here you can see. Now, I don't know why he would have to sneak in and record it. Again, you can find videos of this stuff. It's not that it's hard to find. Okay, let's continue. Salty Siren says, did you see the new Alex Jones video game? Oh no, I'll have to check it out. If you want to post a link, I'll take a look here. All right, let's continue here. This is another one. Ticker TV, The Temptation of Atrocity Denial from Gaza to Ukraine. This is more, I think, more in counter-auto-hoaxing, strategizing by the media. Why do some people find it difficult to accept the reality of atrocities? You see, I was interviewed by McMedia, and they had a psychoanalyst go over the interview and afterward talk about what I said. And they said that I had a hard time accepting the atrocities of the world, that it's some kind of denialism, and that I'm anti-authoritarian or something, or anti-authority, rather. And I'm like, no, I have the utmost respect for legitimate authority. I've broken no laws. I was in the military. I can follow orders. Obviously, I have no issue with legitimate authority. I stop at red lights at 3 a.m. But they were trying to, you know, psychopathologize me and saying that he has a trouble accepting that there could be terror attacks. It's like, no, at the time, you know, I've had years of experience moving dead bodies from car crashes and murder scenes and suicides and gang shootings and rotten bodies in ravines or whatever. You just go through the list of things involved in being a decedent transporter. I don't have a problem accepting the reality of atrocities. I don't accept the reality of the propaganda that promotes a false view of reality, which they try to superimpose over the real thing. There's a huge difference. But what they say here is, the difficulty in accepting the reality of atrocities stems from a variety of factors, including cognitive dissonance, a lack of exposure to firsthand experiences of violence. Nope, I don't think that applies here. Additionally, the overwhelming nature of these events may lead some individuals to resort to denial as a coping mechanism. No, I'm not coping. They're coping, and it's pretty hilarious. Okay, we have a link here. We says, we'll agree to disagree with you, Tim. You're awesome. We appreciate what you do. Yeah, you can agree to agree with the MSM. That's fine. And I'm not critical of it, but I'm saying that as long as you're aware that it's merely a belief. And it's an optional one. Some people believe Christianity. Some people believe MSM. Some people believe in, you know, there's just, it's a belief system. And 9/11 is a contemporary myth. The facts don't support it being real in any way. The meta-scripted nature of the media reveals what it actually is. It is truly newsbent. But, you know, I'm not here to tell people what to believe. I'm just saying, as long as you're not comparing beliefs to knowledge arrived at through, I guess, a rational parsing of the facts. Okay, now here we have Mark Dice, who might be River Phoenix. You know, let me go ahead and do this really quick. Mark Dice being River Phoenix, this is not a new conspiracy. In fact, it's a very old one. And one day I tweeted at him a picture of himself adjacent to his brother. Well, River Phoenix's brother, Joaquin Phoenix. And you know what he did within like 10 minutes? This is Mark Dice. He's got like a million followers. He blocked me. He blocked me because I said, hey, aren't you Joaquin Phoenix's brother? Like, why would he block me if he wasn't sensitive about this? There's just something about that. But anyway, new video game is going to make Democrats furious. Let's go ahead and play a clip here from Mark Dice, a.k.a. River Phoenix.
Fans out there, and even if you're like me and you don't really play video games, the last console I owned was a Sega Saturn. Go ahead, laugh, kids. Call me a boomer. I just lost interest in video games. I'm more of a book nerd myself. But I think we can all agree that this new video game from Alex Jones looks fantastic.
First, there was Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, and Super Mario Brothers. And now, we give you the ultimate politically incorrect game, Alex Jones, New Wars.
I had to bleep that, by the way, because the term Une Earled Way Order Way is not allowed on YouTube anymore.
You can't say New World Order on YouTube? Now, I don't even use the term New World Order because it's the Old World Order and it has a new paint job, but nothing's changed. There's not a revolution. Nobody's waking up. People are in love with the illusion. They're in love with the deception. They're trauma bonded with it. Their reality has been supplanted by its reality. They live in its matrix. There is no mass awakening. There is no new world order coming. It's the old world order updating, new iterations. Looks like they go to Epstein Island.
I think we all know what that building is, right? On Bill Clinton's favorite island, which is literally one of the levels in the game.
Download it now at alexjonesgame.com because, as we all know, anything badass.
Now, isn't this money going to have to all go down to the Sandy Hookers? He's going to have to pay that bill, isn't he? He's been hit with, you know, wasn't it trillions?
Get censored.
And if you go to alexjonesgame.com, it says that it's available on PC, Mac.
Clockwork 103 says WWF was all about the NWO. Yeah, and the NWO is a repackaged older conspiracy theory, but the idea that it's coming, we got to stop it, and that if we don't all hoard guns and storable food items, the NWO is going to take over. American patriots are the last firewall against global tyranny. And you just cling to those guns, because the second they take those guns, America falls, and then everything falls, and then we're in a one world order. It's a nice story, but they've been pitching it for decades. Meanwhile, this order's only become more solidified and integrated, but no, there was never any legitimate threat to it whatsoever. There aren't any threats to it. There's not any internal stressors. This is 1984's perpetual war. Lean Dion says, South Pole had AJ in the tank first. Oh, that's right. We had him in a tank going to Kenosha with Kyle. Was Kyle his son in our... We need to go back through those scripts. I have an update coming up in a few days, probably in about 5 days. Look, I'll wait a few more days on the whole Penguinati project. We have this script we've been developing, which I think will allow us, I think if it succeeds the way I think it will, it'll allow us to bring back our animation department and get enough people involved so we start churning out some more animations. Okay, let's continue. Yeah, I'm blocked by Mark Dice. I love all these people talking about censorship. I'm a victim of censorship, and then they censor me. My blocked list is probably bigger than my follower list. I got 2,000 people. I tweeted this at Musk as a joke. New logo concept, fashioning the X into a swastika. We'll see if they adopt it. All right, moving on. Why do some people find it difficult to accept the reality of atrocities? Again, do any of you think that I'm trying to cope? That I can't believe this, that people are dying, so I got to make up conspiracy theories how nobody dies. Like, that is, like, I'm the right person to talk about fake dead kids' lives not mattering, because I know the distinction between fake dead kids and real dead people, and how the atrocity propaganda is used to bypass your critical thinking, and people are so susceptible to atrocity propaganda. And something else, too. And I think it has to do with what I've been describing. I put out an article about a week ago called Mass Media as Narcissistic Construct. And the mass media trauma bonding with its viewers is reinforced all the time whenever they have these memorials, which are always interesting. Do you remember on the 19th anniversary of 9/11, Derek Chauvin was on trial? And I was like, whoa, the 19th anniversary of 9/11. You had all the 9/11 connections with the Derek Chauvin, George Floyd thing, and he's on trial. And you had George Floyd's legal team with Benjamin Crump, a.k.a. Forrest Crump, and all his crew wearing 846s on their masks. And they're gathered in front of the courthouse as America has a moment of silence at 846 for 9/11. So I was just pointing out, hey, look, you have the overlapping of 9/11 and the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin 9/11ing of America, these rituals overlapping. Both of them based on the number, or centered on this number, 846, where the symbols and numbers are overlapping. It's just pretty incredible. It's all, again, indicators of how pre-planned all this stuff is. Okay, continuing here. FAQs. What is the impact of denying atrocities and spreading misinformation? And again, the implication here, or the loaded question, is that the atrocity information isn't misinformation itself. Like, okay, so for those of you who think that the media should be trusted, let's swap out 9/11 for Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett got lynched by three guys in MAGA hats who covered him in bleach, called him the N-word, and they lynched him at 3 a.m., in Chicago when he was on his way to Subway. Now that's an atrocity. And if I say it's fake, is that misinformation? And should you tune it out? They would say so. But the fact of it is, it didn't happen. It was misinformation itself. It was a fake attack. It was staged. It was exposed as a hoax 24 hours later. So all the people who trusted the news fell for a hoax and overreacted. And those of us who have the presence of mind to be a little skeptical, didn't fall for it. And we were able to call out, hey, look, the media has no ability to engage in skepticism. They automatically believe all of their own reportage. There's no filtration. And that's a key point here. The media does not self-criticize. There's no reflection. So my point being, if the original story is misinformation, then denying it is actually a logical act. And what they're suggesting here is, again, what is the impact of denying atrocities and spreading misinformation as though it's the same thing? It says it undermines the truth, devalues the experiences of victims of their families, and perpetuates a culture of disbelief. A culture of disbelief. That's exactly what I'm about here. I'm going to write that down. What we are fomenting here at Infinite Plane Radio is a culture of non-belief or disbelief. I've been saying non-believer, like infidel, just because it has more of a, you know, a basis in kind of the mentality here. Because, yeah, I am a non-believer. But no, this is a culture of disbelief. And it's because you don't need to be a believer. You can be a knower. And we can make that distinction. And the sooner we do, the sooner we can segregate and separate the parallel media from the world stage confined within the political horseshoe. It's a necessary step. So yes, I am fomenting a culture of disbelief. It says, goes on to say, it erodes trust in media. What do you mean, trust in media? Why would you trust that what they're showing you is unfiltered? You shouldn't trust. I mean, you should maybe, I mean, I would say trust but verify. But no, I would say verify then trust. Because they've lied too many times. They've lied about the most fundamental and transformative events of our lives. They lied about nukes being real to reshape geopolitics, put us into a circular firing squad, to have really intergenerational Stockholm Syndrome victims living on a movie stage, the Truman Show, the President Truman Show. It all really did start with the nuke, but that's when they moved us onto the world stage. And the 1968 Newsbenders even says as much. He goes on to say, how can we counteract the spread of misinformation? To counter the spread of misinformation, fact-check claims and promote media literacy. See, they're in a bind because they cannot promote media literacy without exposing what media is. They have to promote, I guess, a sort of blinkered view where you automatically reject unvetted media. It still becomes an argument from authority. This is a quote from Thomas Sowell, economist and political commentator, author. Emotions neither prove nor disprove facts. There was a time when any rational adult understood this. But years of dumbed down education and emphasis on how people feel has left too many people unable to see through media gimmicks. That is precisely the point that I have been making here, is that if you're a believer in media gimmicks, you do not have the moral nor intellectual high ground. One, you ceded the intellectual high ground when you became a believer. But two, you lose the moral high ground because you're now part of the Psywar. You're actually part of the Doomsday Cult's infrastructure of liars or carriers of lies. The lie in the middle of the word believe and belief. You know, it's not a cliche to point it out because I do think we're fundamentally talking about lies. They may not be malicious or overt, or intentional, but lies are lies insofar as they aren't the truth and deliberately go the opposite direction as the truth. We have to not be afraid to call lies lies and to call propaganda propaganda. We laughs, media literacy, exactly. How can you be... Look, media literacy means nothing when people can't tell the difference between real and fake visually. The visual illiteracy is worse than illiteracy itself, in my view. The sole reason why people believe most of the stuff they believe is because they saw it on TV, which is not an argument. Timothy Ryan says, Rush Limbaugh always quoted Thomas Sowell. He was a big Freemason liar. You mean Jimbo? Rush Limbaugh, 33 years, the EIB microphone. But that was the second incarnation. Originally he was Jim Morrison, Mr. Mojo Rising, also with the golden microphone. Now, he often quoted Thomas Sowell because Thomas Sowell's reasoning is impeccable. I don't care about their politics. And Limbaugh wasn't a Republican water carrier. In fact, there were some points where he inadvertently stumbled into auto hoax territory. For example, he said, there's no way there's water on Mars. It's obviously a liberal ploy to get more money for their environmentalist slush fund. Like, that nails it. Like, his instincts were good. And he called himself the mayor of Realville. And he promoted a form of skepticism, but only to the left. And that was his, that was the ruse there was, you know, you think you're following somebody who's the mayor of Realville, but he automatically accepts everything from his side. So yeah, he was part of the Masonic dialectic. Now, I do think Limbaugh was Morrison, and I have no reason to think he died when they said that he died. And I really came to believe it when I heard Limbaugh on the Rush for Excellence tour singing, and then I saw some backstage where he sang a little bit of Morrison. Did Hendrix become Morgan Freeman? Probably. Jim Morrison's dad was Naval Intelligence. Yeah, his dad was part of that Gulf of Tonkin thing, Admiral Morrison, and some think his dad came back as Marshall Applewhite from the Heaven's Gate cult, and I've compared their visages, and I see a resemblance. But no, Rush's recent death, or his death was somewhat recent, right? He'd been 33 years with the EIB, he dies. I didn't take it to be real, because, yeah, he's part of that cult, so there would be some staged death, leave in the most dignified way, and you have your, you do everything in your terms. But moreover, I think he got to escape before he had to deal with the whole insurrection thing and the death of conservatism, which did die with him. I mean, he was probably the only voice advocating for limited government conservatism, but Trump came and killed that. It doesn't exist. The Republican Party is now just a bunch of grifters looking for power and TikTok clicks. Like, it's pretty depraved. Especially, I mean, they just need to have a wrestling match between Lauren Boebert, the vaping, groping girl from the Beetlejuice thing, the groping congresswoman. She was vaping and groping, like, on camera. And then MTG. MTG would probably win because she does CrossFit. Okay, we're talking about Musk today. People asking him to resign. Now, didn't I call this? I've said this for like 6 months. Musk is the leading promulgator of mind junk and space junk. That this is part of the narrative that he is going to be the reason that the public agrees to do away with the free flow of information and free speech absolutism. That he's going to take the fall for free speech absolutism and for allowing billionaires to monopolize access to space. In other words, rich individuals have too much power and influence, and the collective needs to do something about it. This has been the agenda for some time. And so the takeover of Twitter, turning it into X, and then opening the floodgates to Q and all this liquefaction of reality, these active measures, was all by design. Because did he make Twitter a bastion for free speech? No. They have platformed waves, tidal waves, just floods, deluges of disinformation, garbage. Like, total garbage. Like, here's an example. And these are very popular channels. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of followers. Here we go. On August 23rd, a civil case surfaced online listing John F. Kennedy Jr. as a plaintiff running for president. Not only does his name appear once, but twice on the front page of the legal document. But this begs the question, could RFK Jr. be JFK Jr. behind a latex silicone hyperflesh skin mask? So now RFK Jr. is the new JFK Jr. Like, this type of stuff is insanity. It's delusional, and it's by design. We have people conflating Trump's identity with Jesus, JFK, and Elvis, saying that Rosie O'Donnell's the mother of God. I mean, it gets really convoluted. That JFK Jr. is the savior is just the weirdest thing of all, but it's getting worse because they've moved on into some weird territory, as you can see here. It's just desperate, I guess. A Super Bowl rematch, flat earth debate, and Taylor Swift concert. Travis Kelce talks Super Bowl rematch and flat earth. Now, why is this guy talking about flat earth? You think it could be to drown out Jake the A-hole, who happens to be exposing a lot of the NFL psyops? His interests include a trip to outer space aimed at proving the earth's roundness. They talked about this on the New Heights podcast. I don't have a clip, but basically, I think he's going to try to end the flat earth debate. So wouldn't that be nice? he goes up there and he proves that the Earth is round. They say round. You know, they should be saying oblate spheroid. But he's going to debunk flat Earth and at the same time, I guess, help drown out the opposition. But who knows? It may be saturating and they have to do damage control. Nama sent this. This is just some random video on Twitter. A live poker game. WPT Live World Poker Tour. And there were, I don't know how many people watching, but the comment section was spammed by somebody called Flat Infinite Plane. It wasn't me. Okay, let's see here. G33 says, one thing I noticed, a lot of alleged false flags that got us into wars happened on the water. What's up with that? Interesting. Interesting point there. Pearl Harbor, right. Now, Pearl Harbor, 12-7, was originally, it happened on 12-7, it's called Operation AI. I found a lot of interesting connections between AI and all these events. Of course, AI gives you 19, like 19 hijackers, COVID-19, these major events. And they're all connected by these, the same set of symbols. You know, 12-7, Building 1, Building 2, Building 7, 9-11 being a new Pearl Harbor. They released a garbage Pearl Harbor movie right before 9-11. So everybody would remember what it was so they could correlate the two. Okay, let's listen to this. This is the GOP House Speaker ranting about the depraved America. Now, I want to point something out here because this is what I've been describing for some time, how the utopian progressivism doesn't believe in God and doesn't believe in sin. No, they believe in viruses and Gaia. So they don't believe that God will flood the world, that God will judge us. That's ridiculous. But they believe the globe will. So you see, that's their modern iteration of the same concepts. But the MAGAs, or the traditionalists, the far right, by contrast, they don't really care about the virus or Gaia or global warming. They don't care about that. They're not going to genuflect before that God. No, they still believe in the biblical God, who will judge for sin, not viruses, for sin. They still believe in the old concepts. And they notice that, you know, the left doesn't believe in sin, and the right, and the left says the right doesn't believe in viruses. So they're mutually destructive. Like, they're mutually dangerous to one another, and they need to quarantine or go rural, get out of the cities. You see this constant cry to segregate, to separate on ideological grounds. But it's because each side considers the other side a carrier of something deadly and dangerous and transmissible. The right will call it social contagion, that bad behavior, sins, immorality spreads from person to person in the way that a virus does. Now, this is the House Speaker who believes that there were dinosaurs on the Ark, and he's talking about how we need to, as a nation, apologize to God for our quote, collective sins, or God will judge us. And I'm pointing it out that this is the same thing as going green. America going to God is no different than America going to Gaia. Collective sin, collective carbon pollution. God will do something, Gaia will do something. Again, these are parallel belief systems, just like critical race theory and critical Jew theory. These are, again, templates for the sheeple to fall into. So I'm going to play this clip again. Republican Speaker of the House Mike Johnson ranting about depraved America. He was elected Speaker of the House after 23 days of chaos. Okay, here we go.
And really the only question, I mean, to really just speak spiritually about it, you know, Jim, you and I know, we've talked about this. This is an inflection point. We're at a civilizational moment. The only question is God going to allow our nation to enter a time of judgment for our collective sins?
Is God going to allow our nation to enter a time of collective judgment for, or of judgment for our collective sins? So collective sins, that, and I've been saying too, your carbon footprint, you know, that's a record of your sin. And you recycle to expiate yourself of guilt. When you commit climate sins, you pay carbon taxes because of what you're doing to offend Gaia. And our collective carbon footprint, specifically America, because we're the main polluters, is most likely to trigger Gaia's wrath. And what he's suggesting here is that America's sinful nature is going to cause God to unless we throw a lot of money at the church or whatever they recommend.
Which his mercy and grace have held back for some time. Or is he going to give us one more chance to restore the foundations and return to him? This is going to be a shaking that might help answer that question.
So are we going to return as a nation to God or to Gaia? Or will we be judged by one or both? And I've had a caller, once who called in to say that he believed in both. He believed that God was using global warming to punish us for sin. So there's some overlap there. But the point of it is they both agree on the premise. Our collective behavior triggers environmental catastrophe. But they just disagree on the cause. Is it our consumerism or is it immorality? Is it nature and science or is it the angry flood god? And I'm also pointing out that these are both fake. These are both fake mind control constructs. And the fact that one of them is for the future, progressivism, and the other is a callback to go to the past, traditionalism. You see, they have one looking left, one looking right. One looking to the future, one looking to the past. Idealized past versus perfected future transhumanism. This is an intentional division, and it's brilliant what they've done here. Breaking, all 44,000 hours of footage from January 6th has been publicly released by House Speaker Mike Johnson. Yeah, you know what? If they're not going to look at Wu's news, I don't care what the CCTV shows, because it's all a scripted movie anyway. They're not going to show you what some of these live streamers who are still controlled opposition were actually filming and what they inadvertently revealed. Ashley Babbitt's not dead, and it's not that I have a hard time coping with Ashley Babbitt being dead. And that was, it was one of the fakest fake deaths I've ever seen. Of all the fake deaths that they've ever faked, the fake death of Ashley Babbitt was fake, the fakest, easily. Like, they couldn't get the squib to properly function. Portal Complex says it's us versus them. I think it's us versus them. Because the us versus, and each side, of course, is equally bad. That's another point I want to say. Look, you might, like, Red Pill is woke. And woke is Red Pill. Like, these are just opposames. I think the term coined by Ike. The idea of the political horseshoe is that they never actually meet. But at the fringes, they, and I used to reject that idea. But now that I look at it closely, it's actually by design. In other words, the people who are most agitated and most activated fall into two camps on the fringes, depending on where they lean, left or right. But these are compatibly, or they're parallel systems. They're equal, and they're, and I'm not trying to say that the left and the right are equal in terms of their overall vision. I mean, obviously the left is crazy and unhinged. That's absolutely and objectively true. And they've lost all rationality. And they have no chance of ever breaking from the spell because even though they're part of the political horseshoe, they still lean towards government as source. Whereas the other side is actually moving away from that. But they get caught up in these psychological operations. They get caught up in literal belief in media fundamentalism. And it leads them to the voting booth. It all leads to the same place. Lean Dion says, Ashley Backpack Chiller Babbitt. Yeah, Ashley Babbitt with a big old mattress on her back because she knew she was going to jump back and fall on it. Wrapped in an American flag. I think the name Babbitt was a connection to the Lewis Sinclair, the Babbitts. Probably a reference to this idea of a hyperconformist threatened by social change. Isabel Ann says, religion is over. The age of Pisces is done. Religio is bond, obligation. Yeah, my definition of religion is not the same as spirituality. My definition of religion is worldview regimentation. Like, it's about worldview. And it's filtered through that religion and its tenets. So the Bible is a filter. The Quran is a filter. And the MSM screen is a filter. It's the most recent iteration of all the previous ones. I would consider the MSM church to be an extension of the older Abrahamic religions. And it's astrological templates. And it's even older than that. I mean, Noah's Ark is a recycled myth. Everything's been recycled. I don't think any of them are authentic. And I think that religious literalism is the same philosophical and logical error as MSM literalism. And I think that the literalism leads to ignorance, and it's the ignorance, the darkness that is imposed by the power elite that keeps people under their spell. It's like the movie The Village. And, you know, like people trust media. Well, they might not be lying to you with every breath, but they're standing upon an edifice of lies and a false world view. And it's obviously false. It's demonstrably built on a number of hoaxes, and you can't really just accept the big picture anymore. It's not unified. It wouldn't be logical to accept it as unified. In other words, we don't have all the answers. There's a lot of question marks. And I've been saying for a while that they're going to come into your homes, you know, blue helmet troops from the UN, and they're going to take the question marks off your keyboards. Because why do you need question marks? They're going to give you all the answers. Don't Look Up. The movie Don't Look Up, about the iceberg, or rather the space comet iceberg thing. It's like the Titanic is the Earth. The comet is the iceberg. And the rich, greedy capitalists are going to drive the Earth into its path instead of blowing it up because they want to mine it. So that movie is about the West and it being sunk by greed. But the title, Don't Look Up, wasn't merely about ignoring the elephant in the room, ignoring global warming as a growing problem. But it also had a sub-meaning, I believe, of don't look up information, trust the experts. If people weren't looking stuff up for themselves and, quote, doing their own research, we would be unified, which is true. Okay, let's see here. Allison Chain says, do you have any thoughts to share on conscience and reality? Well, I would say this. The worldview is the internalized version of reality, and it differs from the real thing. And it's very apparent when you're around people from radically different backgrounds, how your internal representation shapes your external experience and how you communicate to yourself about what's going on affects your perception to a large degree. And that the worldview itself, the worldview is what the elite try to shape, because I think what they want to do is have us all on the same sheet. It's like religious wars. You know, who has the ultimate truth? Well, the ultimate truth is being given to us by the MSM. It's become the ultimate authority. And they're the ones who want to have the final stamp on what we all believe as far as the big picture. I think that's their main mission. But I don't think reality's fake. And this is one of the things that they want to get you to lean into. Like, you'll have a lot of people entertaining, quote, simulation theory. Oh, this might all be a simulation. But they don't want to entertain the idea that the televised worldview has always been a simulation. That news media has always put simulation ahead of reportage. Yeah, there is reporting, obviously. Like, let me bring out just another analogy here. Good liars don't lie with every breath. If they lied with every breath, you wouldn't trust them. They would be it'd be like a mad person. Good liars only lie strategically, and they do so when they gain advantage by doing so. The mass media is a pathological liar, but, well, it's more of a sociopathic liar. It's like, it's very structured in how it does it. It gains your trust, and it manipulates. But that has no bearing on the reality itself. Objective reality is real. And just because they simulate and fabricate and augment doesn't take away from the realities, the essential reality. Simulation theory, I think, if anything, is meant to further discredit the individual perceiver, to make perception itself irrelevant. Like, oh, it doesn't matter. Everybody's in their own subjective universe. Like, what they don't want is they don't want the masses to have a grasp on objective reality and become knowers, because that upsets the power disparity. They want believers and knowers. I have a article on my blog called Lie World Order, and it's actually part of Autohoaxology 101. And I have this pyramid model. At the bottom, I have the world stage. And that's the world as defined by the monolithic media. You know, the creation myth, Big Bang, the shape of the universe and the world and everything in it and where it's all going, the big picture. And within this constrained worldview, you have all these different interpretations, but none of those belief systems actually have the ultimate truth. And the ultimate truth isn't knowable from the bottom. You'd have to be in the know. You'd have to know about psychological operations, the fakeability of reality, the fungibility of the fakeability of history. I think it was Napoleon Bonaparte who's credited with saying, history is lies agreed upon. Well, media is lies agreed upon. But above the sea of irrelevance, the lies, the liquefied reality, there is a level where there is more of an objective understanding of things. And that's at the level of the perpetrators of the big deceptions. Like the elders in the movie The Village, they knew there weren't any monsters. They were the monsters. So the monsters, the ones who put on the monster costumes, the ones who staged the events with the bowl cut shooters, yeah, they have a better grasp of reality than the people at the bottom. That's always been the case. The priesthood, the elite, the elevated, the enlightened, and the people at the bottom are in darkness. And if you look at the Masonic initiation, I posted a link on Minds, they swear an oath, and it's all about concealing the light from the profane. Profane means outside of the temple. Outside of the temple is, quote, a wilderness of darkness. Darkness is ignorance. So you have a wilderness of darkness and ignorance, but then you have the insiders who have access to the light. And I think that's the fundamental distinction, that at the capstone level of the pyramid of the lie world order, they have the light. And they purposefully keep everybody else in the dark for purposes of control. That's why they've gone from illiteracy, you know, the movable type press kind of messed up their plan to keep everybody illiterate, and they've replaced that now with visual illiteracy. And I think they've dumbed people down visually, not to mention this active measure, psyoping, the liquefaction of reality, the flooding with mal-mis, disinformation, where reality becomes less and less discernible as people become even less skeptical. It's funny that people think that to be a skeptic is to question the conspiracy theorists. It's like, no. The conspiracy theorists are the skeptics. The ones who are trusting the screen at face value are anti-skeptical. And if your starting point is trusting the screen, then you're basically 180 degrees from us. You're on that side of the screen. One of the ways that I describe this as a model is this. We have our objective reality we live in, we experience with our senses. Then we have this ubiquitous screen, the New World Order's Bible, the monolith. And the screen takes many forms. It can be a TV, it can be on your phone, doesn't matter. But it's whatever gets promulgated to the masses that doesn't get sidelined, marginalized, and censored. The accepted world view as presented on the screen. Now, most people have that screen directly over their face. And everything they see is processed through that screen. In fact, their individual perceptions are secondary to that. Oh, I saw something with 9/11 that was questionable, but I'm going to go with what's on the screen. Okay? So there you have it. Your worldview is filtered. And this goes with any topic. If any of your topic, any topic you go off of is basically what's on the news and then your own opinion, yeah, it's basically your screened reality. True skepticism would question the essential story first and wait for facts to verify it, and lacking those would stop and just not believe. So I'm a non-believer in a lot of these things. I was not rushed to judge or rushed to believe because of emotional appeals. I just flat out refuse to believe. I'm a belief refusenik. And then the people who recognize because they have functional intuitions, and this is a lot of people, they'll say, hey, look, this screen is bullshit. But instead of taking it off and rejecting the push to agree to a narrative, they get led. Because the instant you question it, you're like, wait a minute, there's more to the story. And you have a bunch of people, carnival barkers, saying, yep, there's more to the story. Direct energy weapons, mind control lasers, or whatever they have. Like, they have a list of very loud explanations for everything. MK Ultra, mass shooters, false flag theories, again, science fiction weapons, tactical nukes, aliens. They have things they add to the story. And what this does is it solidifies the premise established by the MSM view and then adds a bunch of stuff, and you can fight over that forever. But That's not skeptical. It's in the opposite direction. So conspiracy theorists actually go deeper into the matrix. And they look back at the, quote, blue pillars, and they say, you guys are asleep. And it's like, well, no, yeah, they're dreaming, but you're having a nightmare. Neither of you are awake. And my point here is that stepping back from the screen means this. It means refusing to believe anything without evidence. And what's more, refusing to believe it when they tell you to come to a conclusion. Like, oh, the news dropped at 10 a.m. that this happened. By 5 p.m., you should know. And they'll give you the story. This person did it. This is the manifesto. And this is the political utility of this event. This is how we need to change things to make sure it doesn't happen again. It's like, that's not how reality works. But there's a lot of pressure to just believe and take sides. And if you don't take sides, they'll pressure you with, oh, well, silence is violence. Or if you're not taking sides, it's consenting to the other side. That's all manipulation. I consider what we do to be off-world stage, the off-world stage perspective, which is, it's apolitical. It's more academic. It's more like anthropology than anything. And we shouldn't be getting censored for this. G33 says TV is a weapon. Yeah, well, TV is a weapon as much as a holy book can be. As much as any, even a handbook from some revolutionary movement. Basically, you're talking about a worldview that has a number of aspects to it that allows the controllers of that worldview to direct the believers in a certain way. And it's generally involving convert or kill type stuff. Or establishing supremacy. I mean, it truly is mind control. I mean, there's no other way to it. I mean, obviously there's a lot of entertainment and there's a lot of aesthetic value in what we see, but I like to point out that there's no meaningful distinction to be made between the news infotainment and the entertainment. And the entertainment is a side effect of what is pretty much programming. I watch a lot of stuff on Amazon. And there truly is a lot of anti-white stuff. Like, Musk isn't wrong. The critical race theory mentality does actually treat, quote, whiteness as an acceptable scapegoat. And I'm saying it's just a mirror of Jewishness as an acceptable scapegoat. Anybody pushing CRT has no business complaining about CJT. Okay, let's see what else we have here. Portal says, we volunteer for the telescreen to delegate. The teleprompter is the newsbenders live feed. And the newsbenders, the people promulgating the fake news, don't even have to know. I mentioned Mick Media earlier, and she asked me, she said, I'm in media. Are you saying that I am a part of this? And I said, yeah. I said, insofar as you are echoing every news story and narrative and every premise as established by the mainstream media outlets, you are part of it. And so in my Lie World Order article, I make distinctions between witting liars, unwitting liars, knowing liars, dupes, agents, and there are various levels of, you know, moral culpability. Although we're getting to a point where you're not going to be able to still maintain the illusion of a moral high ground just because you believe establishment lies. And I think one of the things we're going to do with this channel and one of the purposes to the think tank is to shoot those things down. I don't have any respect for establishment lies. These are all basically agitprop storylines, mind-bending propaganda designed to divide and conquer, the perpetual warfare of the mind. And another aspect to skepticism is the end result. And I'm talking about skepticism in the sense of the early skeptics, like Pyrrho. And I called us pyromaniacs on the world stage because their skepticism was all about don't accept beliefs until you have enough information to know it to be true, in which case it's not really a belief anymore. But moreover, it wasn't like you're skeptical about certain events, like, oh, question 9/11, question JFK. No. This is a general skepticism about everything. In other words, it's a permanent philosophical posture. And the idea was that if you maintained skepticism in everything, you would actually have a peace of mind that isn't attainable by people who believe things in a very reflexive manner. I mean, think about how triggerable some people are. You can laugh at people who are triggered and snowflakes. You can, like, well, these people are so fragile because it's laughable. And there's no reason to be that fragile when it comes to the energy-sucking vampire that we call the mass media. All right, I have to cut it a little short tonight, but tomorrow is Infinite Plane Saturn Day. So tomorrow we'll be taking a lot more time. We'll be doing a lot of calls. A lot of interesting stuff happening in the world, but I just wanted to make a few points today, mainly about how, yes, Infinite Plane Radio is mind war inoculation, and we are fomenting a culture of disbelief by design. Like, that is what we're doing. The Daily Beast was very alarmed when they spied on our Discord server, and they put out an article about us a couple of years ago, and they said that the Infinite Plane Society is weird, and that we are, I believe they said we are weird. That Flat Earth is weird, but this is weird, because these guys are clear-cutting a forest of information. I'm like, yeah, it's true. But what you failed to mention is that the trees are all fake. We're doing a service to everyone here. I'm going to plant some real ones after. This is Portal Complex, JT33, DJ Freestone, Sands of Time. Thanks, chat. I'll send out the archives shortly.
When the lights went out, years of nuclear war perforated the sky, causing immense levels of radiation. Society left to fend for themselves was pushed back centuries. Dome cities were constructed to filter the this was key for the very survival of mankind, guaranteeing their everlasting enslavement.
Life is like a mystery. How much do we really trust our history? It's written by the conquerors. I talk to my demons and they don't listen. And you wanna talk to yours? Get on a mission. You gotta close mind, pry open the doors, yo, and seek the knowledge that's hidden inside. We're slipping through the sands of time, trying to find a cure to be calm. Feels like I'm clutching.